most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Hey, ask who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Clock is running, 10 seconds to go. Dejectedly, Alabama comes to the line for this fourth down and 11. It'll be the last play, barring a penalty, and it ends in a sack. Young dropped back at the 41. That is a fitting ending. Nolan Smith, the sack. Georgia has won the national championship.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Obviously going to talk the national championship, and we will also talk about your Houston Texans, David Culley, doing his goodbye interview yesterday. Well, his end-of-season interview yesterday.
Yeah, well, that sounds... Do you know something we don't know?
No, actually. Well, his goodbye to the season, not his goodbye. I think David Culley is going to be here. I think David Culley will be the head coach again next year for your Houston
Although
Texans.
Although I do think that... I do think having... Let's get into it. I do think that having Brian Flores now on the market is a very interesting situation because, A, I think he's probably a pretty good head coach. I mean, you know, you don't know for sure. It's like people saying that this guy's a good play caller, bad play caller, where they don't really have any of the details necessary to make that determination a lot of times for certain passing plays and what the his passing scheme is just too basic. Do you even know? Do you even know what you're talking about?
Right.
You can't even see the layers.
He's a defensive coach, and apparently he had a really – he would fire his coordinator again. It would be four coordinators in 4 years. He's not very good at hiring that offensive guy.
Now, that is one of the concerns is does he know how to put together staff? Don't worry about it. We've got a GM here who does everything for you. He's kind of the coach.
But that's why he's not there. That's why he's not in Miami, because he wants to buy the groceries and cook the meal as well.
Well, he wants the quarterback he wants, and apparently, some of the rumors and reports are that he wanted Deshaun Watson, and they have made the decision. Deshaun Watson apparently is not going to be a Miami Dolphin.
Not because he liked Brian Flores.
He likes Brian Flores, and Brian Flores liked Deshaun Watson, and Stephen Ross and apparently Chris Greer, the general manager, said, you know what? Tua's won us over, and we're going to roll with Tua. And the reports are that Flores doesn't like it. Well, let's just work through this scenario. What if Brian Flores were to come to Houston as the head coach? All of a sudden, could things ever go back to the way they were with Deshaun Watson after sitting out and taking the team's money and not putting any effort into being a Houston Texan? Literally stealing money all year long, because that's what it was. He stole money.
Yeah.
Didn't have to do anything. All the lawsuits that are here, presumably everyone is in this general area, but who knows? I mean, one girl flew in from Atlanta, we know. So I don't know about... He's clearly damaged his reputation in Houston, but he also had a great reputation in Houston previously. Like, that's where he built his reputation. Is there any chance, it would be a long shot, that the Texans might go after a guy who has had some success over the last couple of years, who appears to be a pretty good coach, who has had experience with the Patriot way, and still bring back a quarterback who you thought would never be a Houston Texan again?
The pros for that, Brian Flores is a guy who Deshaun wants. That's one of the reasons that Deshaun isn't here, because how they bungled the whole head coaching search, that they didn't even listen to him, wouldn't bring anybody in. The more things change, ... is what Deshaun tweeted right after the hiring of Nick Caserio. He didn't have a say. He was told he would have some kind of say. He didn't have any. So Brian Flores would be a pro. Brian Flores might be able to come in here and smooth things over between the organization and Deshaun Watson. The cons, Brian Flores is the exact opposite of David Culley, and Nick Caserio would have to actually cede power, which I don't see happening.
Cede power? You mean let a head coach be a head coach?
That's right.
Well, that should happen at some point.
Well, it's not going to happen here anytime soon. Nick Caserio, I believe, is enamored with what's going on here in that he has a puppet that he can control.
Puppet regime?
He has the entire organization in a stranglehold.
At some point, don't you think that, I mean, listen, he's not stupid. At some point, he knows this is never going to be sustainable. David Culley's a bad head coach, and to win, you need a good head coach, and a good head coach isn't going to come here unless you let them head coach. Now, I'm not saying head coach doesn't have to have personnel say and all that stuff, but a head coach does need to be. Ballard has all the personnel. Frank Reich is a good coach.
How long is that going to last? Or Jim Irsay said there's got to be some changes around here.
Well, I think there's going to be some coordinator change. I don't think Frank Reich's the problem. I mean, you had players who, the problem is a guy with a red beard is a big problem. You just got stuck in quarterback purgatory and it cost you a first. And you got to take your shot. That's why, like, you can't keep rolling with 40-year-old Phillip Rivers. You know what I mean? It's like... But that's a whole separate situation. That's a whole separate scenario.
I think.
But you got to get a real coach at some point.
I don't think that Brian Flores ends up here. Lamont pointed out that he and Deshaun have the same agent, Brian Flores, which is one of the reasons maybe that Deshaun was enamored with going to Miami. In that, you know what? I know this guy. I've met him through. They've met each other through the agent, and they know each other. Wherever Brian Flores lands, I think that's where you can look for Deshaun. That's a selling point.
Good. Let's hope he gets for
Brian Flores to walk into an organization and say, "I can get us Deshaun Watson."
There's not a lot of jobs open right now.
I think the damage
Deshaun's
that's been
going
done,
to Minnesota, really?
Well, maybe not.
No.
Maybe not. Hey, get rid of Rule, maybe he goes to Carolina.
Now Denver is the spot.
Denver's a great spot.
Denver's the spot. Deshaun apparently is in for Denver anyway. Yeah. So if you added, if you were serious about adding Deshaun Watson, then you would add Brian Flores, and maybe that would make some magic.
Listen,
Matt Rule's not going.
I think
anywhere.
Here it's. I don't care if Brian Flores comes and Brian Flores begs. I think there's irreparable damage done between Deshaun and the organization.
I just thought I would go through that because it is a scenario that we haven't discussed because no one saw Brian Flores being in the market. But you know there are some things that tie Brian Flores and Deshaun Watson potentially together. And could those things tie them together? Would there be any shot of that happening in Houston? I think it's an interesting discussion. I do think the damage is probably irreparable, but you never say never just because we know that Billy Martin went back to the New York Yankees multiple times and he and the owner hated each other. Like, you never really know, but this would be tough. I don't think Deshaun wants to stay here.
I don't think they want Deshaun as the face of the franchise.
Yeah, it might be.
It's right now, it's Coach Culley. Coach Culley is the face of Coach Bubblegum is the face of the franchise. As far as he knows, he was asked yesterday, "You're still the head coach?"
As far as I know, I'm the head coach of the Texans right now and moving forward with that.
And then, you know, I mean, it is awfully difficult. He's had 1 year. He bungled a lot of stuff. Yes, I get that. We understand that. He learned a lot of stuff. But talked about, you know what, we're being judged here in 1 year.
Well, I mean, you're judged every year. And basically, you're judged on wins and losses. And if you judge it on wins and losses, I'm not happy with 4 wins. At all. You know, I expected to get more than 4 wins and felt like we should have got more than 4 wins. But this is a bottom line business. And, you know, I wasn't happy with the number of wins we got, but I expect to get more.
He is right, though. You can't judge. They had a terrible, terrible roster, and we're asking him to win a bunch of games. But the problem is, no, if you just simulated the games and you saw they won 4 games, the problem for David Culley is that we saw them take place, mm-hmm. and we saw some of his hands were in some of the miscalculations and misconfigurations of game management, and that's hard to get around.
Well, and here's the deal too: is there's more than likely there's going to be another overhaul. How many new guys that they have in here on one-year contracts? And this is what he's got to deal with.
Well, I think it worked well because a lot of those guys that were on those contracts were veteran guys that was very influential in keeping this locker room the way it was. And I felt like that having those guys here, whether they were on one-year contracts or what, I didn't even know exactly who was on 1 year or 2 years or whatever. I just coached whoever was there and treated it that way all year. Never talked about it. But I do know that a lot of those veteran guys that we've had have been very influential in how things have gone for us this year. I respect that, and I'm glad that I had them here.
It's one of the issues that is going to face the Texans again is they're going to be stuck with a whole new round of non-continuity, which, you know, it has to happen. They were 1 year band-aid guys. Now you're going to have to go in and you'll piece together longer term deals, but then you also have band-aid guys. Like, you're still in a process of just bridging to the next into the next entity of the Houston Texans. One question, though, that is going to be asked that David Culley gave an answer that some people aren't going to like is about this coaching staff and are there going to be any expected departures?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, their future is now. They're here, and they'll be coaching with me.
Now, what David Culley wants really is irrelevant. Let's be honest about that. David Culley should have his coaches back unless he thinks they're not very good. I know fans don't want Tim Kelly back. Should Tim Kelly be back or not? You know, I don't know. I just think Tim Kelly's been here a while. It's nothing against Tim Kelly, but it might, and any coordinator that comes in now, you're coming under David Culley. So here's why Tim Kelly probably will be back. If you come in under David Culley, a new coordinator, you're going to have a coordinator who really, frankly, does not have a lot of job security wherever he is, because who wants to come into a situation where you know you're a lame duck coordinator? And then you got to hope you're a carryover coordinator for the next staff. That is not a good coordinators would never consider this position because it looks like a 1 year deal.
Well, and it's so interesting. Boy, everybody is down on Tim Kelly. Everybody.
Yeah, well, it's just become the thing. Like, Deshaun Watson had his greatest year under Tim Kelly. Davis Mills outproduced expectations under Tim Kelly. It is a strange scenario because Tim Kelly is just, that's the guy you just go after. You know, some people have that with Brian.
It's irrational with people.
Brian Daboll gets some of the same stuff in Buffalo. People either love Brian Daboll or a lot of people say, there's Brian Daboll screwing things up again. Most people say, man, Brian Daboll's a head coach candidate. He's a really good offensive coordinator. He's done amazing jobs. And yet, the fans, the number one thing to complain about in general, and this is fine, it's just, it's not usually, a lot of times it's not fair. Just saying, well, this guy's the reason why. If you don't want to make it your quarterback, then you just say it's a play caller and you move on to the next thing of what you want to get rid of. But, yeah, when you just think out loud, okay, so Davis Mills was really legitimately the second-best rookie quarterback. He was there for 2 years where Deshaun Watson has blossomed into a better quarterback. Like, it's kind of strange.
It really, really is. I mean, listen, the vitriol for this guy is, to me, it's irrational. It's irrational because of all the things that you just said. Plus, you had dinosaurs at running back. Plus, you had a makeshift line.
Dinosaurs. Oh, my God. Honestly, I could go find you five running backs right now better than the Houston Texans running back. Oh, I could find you probably six running backs easily in college right now better than all three of your running backs, four running backs you had throughout the year.
Yeah.
Easily. Well, I'll just give you the kid from Florida, Damian Pierce, Isaiah Spiller, Breece Hall. None of these guys are going to be first rounders. Some are going to be third rounders. Guess what? They could all come in and be better than Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, David Johnson, Rex Burkhead. It's a joke. Like, the running back position for the Texans, you should immediately upgrade it just off the free agent market. Yeah. You don't even have to put a draft pick on it if you want.
Yeah. All right, so that's you know, and Pep Hamilton is sitting there in the wings, and Pep Hamilton is probably going to get an OC job.
That's what people want. Yeah. People want Pep Hamilton because they think Pep Hamilton has some kind of magic beans in his pocket, which I don't know if that I don't know that there's a lot of magic beans to win more than four games with a rookie quarterback a bad offensive line, no running game. Like, that's a the expectations are awfully strange. It doesn't mean all the coaches in place are the right ones, but it also, I don't know a lot of coaches that would succeed with what the Texans have right now
with
going
this offensive weaponry. Goodness gracious. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll talk national championship on the other side right here. We got plenty more Texans to talk. But right now we're talking about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf is kind of he's a different dude. I could say that. I think that John Clay Wolf is his shiva getter is broke because he just says whatever he wants at any time. And so it's really interesting to hear him talk. And when he comes on here, he never talks about actually buying cars. He just likes to get on here and talk about stuff. Don't know why that he never even mentions Give Me the Vin Doc. I think he might be tired of it because he does that all day long. He has to buy cars all day long over and over. So he likes to come in here. And if you've ever listened to his radio show on Saturday mornings, he does a lot more of that, just talking about stuff as opposed to buying cars. But he does that on the radio. You can call him up and he'll tell you exactly what your vehicle is worth right now. And that's
he
amazing.
He does it like right, just like a matter of fact, I give you a 17,700 on that. The thing with Dak Prescott, like what? I think he just threw a car price in.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing how he knows what everything.
Y'all seen this old gal in Germany? What? What is this?
But that's what he do. And he can do it right now for you. In literally minutes, you'll have your quote on your car at GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 718 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you see Bill O'Brien going nuts in the booth last night?
Did you see the meme?
Which one? Okay, well, so they brought back...
Hey, Skeletor.
No, I didn't see that.
You didn't see the Skeletor meme?
No, oh, I saw him when he was walking off at halftime against Denver. And this is Bill O'Brien leaving.
Oh, Black Adam Schefter.
No. Yeah, that one.
So we have a shorter version of it. The longer version, the Black Adam Schefter, that's who he is on Twitter. He's got the full version where, hey coach, bleep you. I mean, there's a little extra. There's a little more in there when you watch the whole video that I'd forgotten about. Like, oh yeah, it was a whole big thing. But remember Bill O'Brien's excuse was, I was doing that to a Denver fan who was booing me as I walked off the field in the game where we were losing 31 to like 10 or something.
31-3.
Yeah, 31-3. Because, you know, that's what the road fans do. They boo the coach and tell him he sucks. They don't just try to go up and go get their beer or whatever.
Home fans love when you're down 31-3.
Home fans don't mind it.
As a favorite. You know, they just love that. There's no way a home fan would have been doing that. It's amazing to me the Bill O'Brien rumors that are flying everywhere. It's like every place that's got a job opening, Bill O'Brien is one of the main candidates. Dude, 1 year in rehab with Nick Saban is like...
By the way, not considered as particular... In a year where there were two... Yeah, Heisman Trophy quarterback, first in school history, absolutely. However, two losses to assistants... An inconsistent offense. Fans hate him. Like, he is their... Okay, so he is now their Tim Kelly.
Their Tim Kelly, right.
Yeah, he's for sure their Tim Kelly. But I got a text from somebody so excited that Bill O'Brien didn't win a national championship. It's 11:30 at night, right as I was about to go to bed. They were very excited that he did not win a national championship. And I got to tell you, I mean, it makes sense. It checks out. If you know how he treated people, if you know how he ruined our franchise and our ability to watch games on Sunday, it's hard to have a lot of love for him because he bullied his way into a position of absolute authority and then did everything he could to completely take the house down to the studs unintentionally.
Well, and look at the difference.
And then was really a bad person in doing it, yeah, to people. I don't know about off the field, but in the building, I'm just telling you, he was a bad
guy. You know what Brian Flores needed? He needed a Jack Easterby to be, you know, whispering in Stephen Ross's ear about what a bad guy Chris Greer is, so that he could have gotten, you know, he could have won the power struggle in Miami. Bill O'Brien had that. Bill O'Brien had the owner whisperer in his ear.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just, and
they got where they needed to go.
One tongue was able to turn Cal into a dense rock and was able to win that power battle. And look at what Bill did. What a wonderful job Bill did for the organization. But a strong owner like Stephen Ross said, nah, I'm going to trust the GM here. You know what? He's the one that's supposed to make all these decisions. He's the one that we're going to go with. Brian Flores, mm-hmm, if you can't get along, get out. And if they'd have done that with Brian Gain, if they'd have done that, if Cal would have seen through the misery.
Well, you know what was happening
Easterby
first?
Easterby and O'Brien?
It was Rick and O'Brien at first.
At first.
And then Bill O'Brien had to find something. I'm not going to go into it, but Bill O'Brien found something that he found a trump card that he could take out Rick Smith. And that's what he did, and he went directly to the McNairs. But one thing that I've had a couple people in the building say, if Bob McNair was alive, none of this stuff with Easterby and all that wouldn't have happened, because Bill O'Brien was not afraid necessarily, but he respected Bob McNair and would not have tried to pull this. Once Bob McNair passed away, they knew it was open season on whatever they wanted. There was a huge vacuum in power. Here's some tweets from last night. Bill O'Brien looking up the rules for trading college players as we speak. We found the kryptonite. Bill O'Brien, good Lord, he might actually be so awful that even Nick Saban can't stop him. Couldn't be happier. Bill O'Brien ain't getting a natty. I wouldn't even wait till tomorrow. If I was Saban, I'd announce the firing of Bill O'Brien tonight. Bill O'Brien is going to try to trade Bryce Young after this game. That's what you're dealing with right now. Bill O'Brien is dealing with I'm trying to find the I want you to see the new meme of Bill O'Brien. Oh my gosh, he is just, Twitter is just annihilating him. But he's got if you didn't see it, he starts yelling and screaming into the in the press box, because there was a touchdown play, and it was either the running back, either the wide receiver missed the route, or Bryce Young missed the throw. It was one or the other, and he did a perfect OB thing where he raises his hands in anger and he's yelling and screaming, and I'll try to find the other. Oh. More Skeletor vibes. Here you go. Well, I'll find it for you. But it was Skeletor doing the same thing Bill O'Brien did. They found it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic. Bill O'Brien not winning a national championship is what had to happen. We just couldn't have him win a national championship.
No.
Unless, of course, you were getting 3 points, and then I understand it. I'm not going to begrudge somebody who's got money on the table.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Barely went under. Barely went under.
I know.
That was the under of the century.
Oh, but everybody came back with the over second half and crushed.
I guess so. Yeah, well, yeah. You even needed a crazy fourth quarter for that to happen.
Right. But I think it did. I think it did for the people.
We haven't talked about the game. I want to get into the game some and what this means for Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, if anything.
I mean, because I'm already hearing, man, where does Kirby Smart rank now in the college coaching, in the history of college? Oh, my goodness, he's 46 years old. Now, Nick didn't win his first national title till he was 52. Kirby Smart is 46. Kirby Smart has built a program over there at Georgia that is going to be around. It looks like it's got lasting power. It looks like he has built a monster over there. A year in and year out, he's at the top of the recruiting rankings. Kirby Smart is a damn good coach. And Kirby Smart...
There it is.
There it is. And Kirby Smart is... I'll tell you this. I mean, they didn't even have JT Daniels, who was supposed to be their guy. Stetson Bennett... a Georgia lifer from a kid. Did you see the story? Did you see the background story on him? Mm-hmm. When he was a little kid, the first time he picked up the football. What do you want? I want to be the quarterback for Georgia.
I want to be a dog.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of the dream scenarios
really
in college football.
A walk-on that came and lived his at 41 years after they won a national title. I mean, he takes them there.
Loves Georgia more than anything in the world. Yeah. Like, loves the school. This is the antithesis of where people think college football is now. Here's somebody who loves the school so much that he was a preferred walk-on, went to a junior college, wouldn't take mid-major offers because he wanted so bad to get to Georgia. He ended up going as a preferred walk-on after a year at a junior college, was third on the depth chart. They said on a broadcast that they couldn't even – they said they went back to their notes of the first game that they had, Georgia versus Clemson. He's not even anywhere on the notes. It's not – Chris Fowler said, on my game board that I build out with all my information, all my stories, everything, it's like there was no – he's not even – his name's not even in there. There's no mention of Stetson Bennett. And here he is, a kid who grew up wanting, since he could walk, to be a Georgia Bulldog, a preferred walk-on at the school, a guy who does not have the best physical gifts, is a smaller guy. He starts crying on the sideline after the interception return for a touchdown because he knows they're going to win a national championship. It's all he's ever wanted. His teammates couldn't be happier for him. Man, his teammates are swarming him on the sideline like every teammate. Was so happy for that guy.
Awesome.
So he must be, behind the scenes, he must be one of those guys that people really like because he ain't going to be a pro quarterback. This was his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is his greatest achievement in life, will probably never be topped by this. And I say that as a man with five kids.
Yeah. No. And listen, your greatest achievement is winning a national championship for your the beloved school. My goodness, does it get any better than
your
that?
Your family.
So what? You're not
your whole
be
family's
a pro
Georgia.
Quarterback. Your whole everything about you is Georgia, and now you're in the annals of Georgia history like Herschel Walker. It goes Herschel Walker, Stetson Bennett right now. That honestly, because Stetson Bennett did it for him. 41 years they've been waiting for a national championship.
Stetson Bennett will go down and. You know, Greg McElroy has a lot of love in Alabama, for example,
yeah.
When he's there.
But
Stetson Bennett in Georgia, the entire state, you got to remember now, this is even different. This is not one of six or, you know, this is not one of seven or six national championships. This is it. This is Vince Young.
Yeah.
This is like walk on Vince Young without the pro potential and without the bluster coming out of high school. This is the guy who, frankly, at times of the game, you realize, oh, my God, Stetson Bennett can't beat Nick Saban. They're not going to win because Stetson Bennett can't do it. Then he puts together the drive after the Alabama touchdown. Stetson Bennett is freewheeling, and shout out to their offense coordinator because they basically said, we're not going to the show.
Knox College graduate Todd Monken?
Todd Monken comes out with play action, and the kid makes immediately a 14-yard field side out throw, which is you got to have a little juice on it. You got to run a good route to get some, you know, to get some separation. He makes some really good throws, and they go right down the field and score. Man, if they had to punt after that, that game's probably over because there is no momentum at all anymore for Georgia. And shout out to the kid for, they're fumbling when you're running on the first. That was not a great move. Yeah. Taking a 5-yard delay of game penalty on a 3rd and 5. After Alabama scored on the opening drive, that was pretty terrible. But
he made all the plays
now down. when he's 40 years old, he'll still be the guy that beat Nick Saban, and also has a really successful real estate company.
Or insurance. Yes. Stetson Bennett Insurance. And Stetson Bennett will never buy another meal in the state of Georgia.
No,
never buy. Stetson Bennett is going. Oh my God, Stetson Bennett walked in. That's what is going to be the rest of his life.
Oh, he's
going to
finally make his money now. He probably couldn't make anything NIL because he's just like, he's probably a little something. Now they're going to have advertisements. Stetson, we want you to speak for our car company. Stetson, will you do stuff for the Grandies? Stetson, I sure would like for you to speak for our energy company. Like, Stetson Bennett's going to have. Stetson Bennett also strikes me as somebody who's married with a kid already. He always feels like.
Still going out with his high school sweetheart. Not sure they've ever had relations, but he's going out with her. That's for sure.
This is your guess, right? You don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope Stetson's in a position to enjoy this win.
Yeah.
But I have a funny feeling that Stetson
is probably going to go.
His girlfriend's probably like, hey, Stetson, we're still getting together after the game, right? You're not I just want to make sure you're not going to any parties. Now his girlfriend realizes, oh, my God, y'all, I got to keep an eye on Stetson because tonight is not going to be a great night for me.
Stetson's like, don't worry, Hunt. He probably got engaged after the game.
Have you seen all the coyotes are lined up outside of Stetson's locker? I hate coyotes. Those bitches.
Those cows. They're the cows.
Cowos. More like cowos. But Stetson likes stick girls, so I don't know. I could have some problems.
Let's take one here. We're going to talk more about the game. You want to get in?
7-1-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. TGS Insurance, right? Homeowners Insurance. I mean, I would say it's recommended by Stetson. I don't know for sure that that's the fact, but TGS Insurance does make it very, very easy for you to start putting more of your money back in your pocket. And I mean, money that you shouldn't have to spend. If I told you could buy a jacket and the jacket was going to cost you $150 and then you searched online and you found it for $90, the same jacket, what are you doing? You're going with the place that's less expensive. It doesn't make sense to build in all that margin and just give somebody additional money. With A-rated homeowners insurance, there's no reason to flip, you know, to stay with the same company for years and years and years and not shop for homeowners insurance. Go look for the best rates, and TGS Insurance can do it in a matter of seconds. They can look for a multitude of A-rated companies that will shop your address, and through their algorithm, they will get answers back very quickly, and they'll fire those answers back to you via text within 15 seconds. The average savings is $900 annually. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's 7:35 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6 is the number.
It's kind of fun talking about the Stetson Bennett thing because it is one of the – I thought his interviews weren't that great after the game, unfortunately. I was hoping to – and so was ESPN. They were hoping to get, like, these magical sound bites out of him.
Yeah.
He was almost at a loss for words. I mean, his dream came true yesterday. It was a really cool story. Nick Saban has gone through some changes over the last couple of years. He has smiled more over the last couple of years. Cole Kubelik from SEC Network told me he didn't think the Bill O'Brien, Nick Saban thing was going to be as, flammable as I thought, because he said Nick's kind of a different guy now. I don't know which national championship it was. I think it was his last one. Did they win last year? No. Last year. After last year when he won with the team that he was like, that was one of his pride and joy teams. He didn't think it was as good. But
Jones won the title.
Yeah, he just said things have changed. Something in his life, he's more content. My dad had a chance to go work for him and didn't, because he just didn't want to have to work for Nick Saban when he was at LSU. I know a coach at Michigan State who just talked about what a nightmare it was. Nick has gone through a multitude of coaches. Yeah. It's just he's run through them and still wins at a high level. But at some point, I think Nick Saban has kind of finally mellowed. And after the game, if you saw the handshake between Nick and Kirby Smart, A, they're very close. They're good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't Bill Belichick, boom, and gone. It was... He stood, he lingered, he almost had a little bit of a smile.
Yeah.
He almost had a little bit of a grin.
I was surprised
by that.
He
seemed genuinely happy for Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And so Nick is in a different place. And is there a 70-year-old who looks better than Nick Saban? Like, man, my wife said, I can't believe he's 70 years old.
Well, that's all he eats is Little Debbies. He never drinks. He doesn't do anything.
Little Debbies in the hearts of...
Yeah.
And the hearts of the unborn or something. How do you suggest? I don't understand how he's won so much, stays so young. Like, what kind of deal did he do with the devil?
I don't know that he eats the
well in a metaphorical sense. Obviously, not
unborn.
Not in America. Metaphorical.
Oh,
he drinks the blood of a thousand virgins.
Devil, but I don't know.
They do call him Satan.
Yeah,
drinks the blood of a thousand virgins. Mm. I don't know. Is there some kind of vampire type of thing you can get to with Nick? He's an amazing. I mean, in all seriousness, obviously joking, but in all seriousness, he's done things that we will never. I don't think we'll ever see in college football.
So, just to compare, Same type of occupation, same type of stress level. You know who another coach who's 70 years old who actually looks like he's 70?
Who?
Pete Carroll.
He's starting to, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But Pete has looked great. Pete has looked
more 70
years
than Nick Saban does.
I think you could have found a, like, you could have found a, yeah, a different no. coach worse than Pete Carroll.
No, Pete Carroll has looked, he's amazing how he looks at his age.
I'm not saying he looks bad for 70.
No.
Compared to Nick. He looked more like a 7-year-old than Nick.
I think he's got great. Well, one of them, I think, one of them dyes his hair and one doesn't. I think that's also maybe a difference. But no, Nick looks great at 70. He's just an incredible coach. I mean, Nick is.
I don't know. Pete Carroll, for his age, look, I think, well, whatever. I do know this, is that Stetson Bennett had a really, really emotional night. And, you know, maybe it is tough to put it into words.
Just the whole drive. Everybody doing their job. That's what this football team is. That's what Lewis does every day for the defense. He's the leader over there. You know, I love these guys. And then, you know, the tears afterwards, that just hit me. You know, I hadn't cried in, I don't know, years. But, I mean, it just came over me. You know, that's what – when you put as much time as we do into this thing, you know, blood, sweat, tears, you know, it means something.
Yeah, and you've loved it since you were a little – I mean, it's just an awesome story. That's the kind of – and you're right. You know, we talk to, oh, these kids, they don't want to play. You're opting out. These kids, they just want money, NIL. He's going to make $4 million and blah, 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 blah. And then you got Stetson Bennett.
There are those guys, and then there are still the Stetson Bennett. And there's still a lot more of those guys.
The majority of guys. Because we're talking about Division III, Division II, FCS. We're talking about... I mean, there are tens of thousands of football players out there in America, and there is a microscopic number that is actually playing for money and is only playing to get to the highest level. I mean, every kid has aspirations. It's a really good high school, but I'm going to play in the NFL. And then the reality hits of you're not going to be an NFL player, whatever the case may be. But the love that they put into the workouts in the offseason and everything else that goes into it, it's microscopic, the number, the percentage of players that are just playing for money. It's microscopic compared to the love that players have for the game.
Well, he's a very unique case. Like, you're not going to have a walk-on playing for a national championship very often. It's just not the case. I mean, the fact that it's going to look more like Bryce Young, 5-star. And especially, you know who the favorites are for next year? National champ. Now, I don't have a problem with this. You all have a big problem with this. My son Snacks, Sebastian, has a major problem with this, which I reminded him about. I don't have a problem with having the two best teams play for a national championship because I like watching championship football played at a high level with talented players. I kind of like that. So I don't have a problem with Georgia and Alabama scrap. They're the two favorites, plus 350 headed into next year because they still – and listen – is it? And I heard Nick Wright today talking about it. Listen, it's not good for college football for one team to be great and one coach. It's good that there's been a variety of champions over. I mean, yes, but I would also remind you that there are plenty of. There's also something to be said for having the bad guys, the New York Yankees, you know, L.A., beat L.A., or the Celtics, or. The Red Sox, or, you know, whoever, the Patriots, the evil empire. There's something to be said for having an evil empire because everyone roots against them and everyone rallies against them. And when a team like Georgia beats them, even though Georgia is right there on par with them and the favorite, in fact, the favorite in the game, it's there's still people can cheer that evil empire got beat. Now, you know, the reality is maybe NIL will make it better. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are both railing against NIL that it needs regulations, and it does need regulations, clearly. However, let's remember also that Nick is more likely to rail against things that he thinks takes away his competitive advantage because he was the same one railing against tempo football when A&M beat him and that people are going to get hurt. All right, we can't play at this level. We got to take time. We can't rush up to the line and play fast because guys are going to get hurt. And then
Now look at him.
And then he's like, let's play faster. You know, because he thought that was taking away his competitive advantage.
Well, no, this is definitely a gentler and kinder Nick Saban. I don't think there's any question about it. And he's lost twice. You know, Lamont, hey, do you know he never lost to an assistant before? And he lost twice this year.
He lost to a quarterback in the transfer portal.
And who probably can't get, where's he going? Oh, he's already gone somewhere. He's going to Auburn.
Texas State?
Yeah. Oh. No, he's going to Auburn.
Oh, Auburn.
As a backup? Zach Calzada is not going to out. He's not going to start for Auburn. Those fans will. What? He's going into the heart of it. It's worse.
It's way worse.
It's gotten worse.
Oh, no, A&M, Auburn. At least. Yeah, no.
There's good Ags out there who will be like, well, I mean, that guy can go get his food paid for. He lost four games in the SEC. He was 2-4 in the SEC West, but he beat Alabama.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. That's all you have to
do. He beat Alabama. He's always going to be the guy that beat Alabama. But going to Auburn, son, let me tell you how this should work. You need to go to, like, you need to just go to, like, Virginia Tech. Although I've heard those fans are really mean.
Or Wake.
Colorado.
Colorado's a
great place. You can enjoy the outdoors. It's beautiful.
No one's going to care that you throw a 100-mile-an-hour, a 4-yard route. No one's
going to
care.
What are you doing going to Auburn, the little brother of Alabama, where the fan? No, that's not a good place for you to go, Zach Calzada.
Somebody. I mean.
Colorado State.
We're going to get, when we get back, there's a lot of ugly things being said on this Twitter feed about Stetson Bennett and what he brings to the table or what his girlfriend is going to have to do now.
Oh, don't read them. Don't. Just delete them all.
Terrible. You people, you're bad people.
You want to hang up? What if Stetson Bennett's not there? Well, listen, you want to hang? Hey, you got with Stetson Bennett. You want to stay with Stetson Bennett? You're going to have to do some new Stetson Bennett stuff. Like, why are you referring to yourself in the third person,
Stetson?
Because
I'm Stetson Bennett.
You weren't doing that in the SEC championship game when Nick was whipping your ass. You weren't doing that.
Guess what? Guess what?
Well, I don't know if you watched last night. There's a new Stetson.
Now watch what Stetson's going to do for it, do you?
Yeah.
Time to talk right now about what Aqueduct Plumbing is going to, and Billy and Mary are going to do for you. And they're nice, nice people. They're not doing Stetson Bennett stuff. What they're doing is they're coming to your home, and they are actually going to give you an estimate that's absolutely free. And now the work isn't free, but they're going to give you a fair, just estimate. And you're going to say, wow, okay. And you know what? They say, oh, you want to get another estimate? Go get another estimate. You're probably going to have to spend $70 on that other estimate. But you know what? Get another estimate and see whether or not you're not getting a great deal from Aqueduct Plumbing. Now, I don't know. Honestly, before Aqueduct Plumbing, I had a plumbing issue. I had to get a toilet taken out. And I was like, I don't know who to call. What do you do here?
I called my buddy Chris Solis, who's a try to use his contractors because I didn't trust anybody because I'd gotten mangled before by one of the worst 777, and I'll leave it there. You guys are the worst. Go with Aqueduct Plumbing. I finally found a company, thebenchplumbing.com, where you can trust their rates, you can trust their diagnosis, and they're going to get the job done quickly, efficiently, and get it done the right way for the right price. I promise you that.
281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. TheBenchPlumbing.com. Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They're at your disposal.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I'm a big advocate of the college football playoff, 12 teams. Let's go. Get the group of five involved. Have fun. I know there were only two teams. And you know what? It ended up those two teams, and that's the way it will probably end up. You know, somebody said, oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot more. There's certainly going to be a lot more parity in college football if you open it up. And a lot of good players are going to be going out of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and ACC because you opened up the college football playoffs. So it's definitely and go ahead. Go look at what's going on in the FCS. North Dakota State wins it every year.
There's no parity.
And they got a 24-team playoff.
That's the biggest fallacy is that playoffs are opening and expanding will now open the doors for all these other teams. What it does is it makes the teams who are the best, it it entrenches them as if you want to win. And FCS is different than Alabama.
The best teams can only get 25 guys anyway. That's all they can get.
So they're going to get
there
the
There are
top.
A lot of good football players
But North Dakota State has some really good coaches, too.
Yeah.
Their quarterback coach, when I talked to him about Trey Lance, I was like, holy
Well, the reason crap. Montana State was in it is because they got a coach from North Dakota State.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
They know how to do it.
You mean Nick Saban, one of his disciples, is also the guy that won a national championship?
Right, exactly.
I mean, listen, once you know the secret sauce, you know how to recruit it. One of the reasons Nick Saban has fired coaches in the past is because they don't do good enough form recruiting. Like, he's pushed out some really good offensive line coaches that missed on some five stars that he thought they should have had, and he's pushed them out of there. And I'm like, you got to coach it. And Nick's whole thing is, no, I got to have the players. I can find people to coach technique. I got to have the players. So one of the things that he's really, like, you must recruit at a very high level to stay on his staff. And there's a lot of pressure because he understands if I have the most talent. You see Dallas Turner? I was watching tape of Charles Cross, who is a tackle prospect out of Mississippi State. Probably the second best tackle on the draft.
He's probably a top 10 guy.
Yeah. And I'm watching tape, and guy's really solid, like good player. And all of a sudden, there's this one guy that's heckling him, and it's number 15 from Alabama. So I go, man, who is this 15? So I go to my computer, Dallas Turner, freshman, Alabama. And I'm like, this guy gave him the most trouble of anybody I watch. Dallas Turner's all over the place for Alabama. It's just not even fair. You're going to go from Will Anderson to Dallas Turner. And this is the thing. Nick has already figured out, okay, I know what it's supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like a pro program. I want to get pro prospects, the guys who are going to be drafted the highest in the pros. So why would I not want to find guys who look like pros immediately, who have traits? So he's figured out the traits and characteristics of a pro player. He recruits them. He gets them. He develops them. And they went at a high level. Rinse, wash, repeat. Kirby Smart said, huh. So this is how it's done. So when he went to Georgia, he does the same thing. He hasn't done it to the same level until recently, where now all of a sudden he's got seven guys or eight guys on his defense that are all going to be drafted within the next 2 years. And you look at the offense, it's the same. Yeah, he's figured out the same thing.
15 draftable, 15 guys that are going to get drafted again this year or whatever. I mean, it's the same. It's the same.
That's how you win a national championship, though. Clemson, when they won, ton of draftable
guys. LSU had 19.
LSU, a record number.
Yeah.
You have to go get pro players to win college championships.
The difference is LSU fell off immediately. They lost their coordinators.
Clemson
fallen off. And Clemson's fallen off. Yeah, absolutely. But my goodness, the guys in the morning before us. So Kirby Smart now. I think it's Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. That's it. Dabo, what he's done all these years, now all of a sudden. Yeah, but look at where Clemson is this year. They lost four games. What? Oh, my gosh. Dabo has been a great coach for a decade or more, and we were just kicking him to because Kirby Smart won a national title. I mean, it's amazing. The media is amazing. I mean,
have you done for me? I mean, it's the way it is. Is Ryan Day is now on the hot seat. Keyshawn had that take.
Oh.
Ryan Day is number one on the hot seat now in college football. Number two is Lincoln Riley because you got to win and play for championships right now. Or I don't know if it was considered hot seat. But guys, something like that. And I'm like, Ryan Day, well, I mean, you lost to Michigan. That's not what people sign up for. And I'm not saying it's fair, but he hasn't been in a national championship.
Once in 9 years? Holy crap.
This is why coaches are miserable, because they know. Brian Flores is like, hey, I just won seven games in a row. I just won seven in a row and I'm gone.
That's amazing.
What in the world? Well, I mean,
we're an amazing
people.
We are an amazing people. 754.
David Culley's like, I know, and I'm here. I have no business being a coach, and look at me. I'm going to get a second year.
So Jackson Dart,
nice
though,
guy,
speaking
though.
Of Lincoln
nice
Riley,
guy. Really nice.
Did
guy.
You see Jackson Dart play? You might have. Have you done number 15 for USC yet? The wide receiver.
Yes, kind of a slower guy, but really talented ball skills.
Holy crap. The best hands I think I've...
Drake London. Great hands. He's like a slower version of Pittman, Michael Pittman coming out. Similar players. But man, he's got great hands, great body control. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Big boy. He's like 6'5". Legit. They say he's real 6'5", not listed 6'5". But yeah, I've watched him.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to be able to get open.
He reminds me of Ed McCaffrey.
I think that was my comp.
No way.
Swear to God. Hold on. As a matter of fact, since you said that, Drake London, wide receiver. Here's what I say about him. See what you think. My comp, Mike Evans, Ed McCaffrey.
Really?
Swear to God.
Yeah.
That's what I saw, too. I saw Ed McCaffrey. Big, long possession receiver with the ability to play outside or to mismatch defenders from the slot. He lacks desired top-end speed and separation quickness to open clear windows.
Yeah, but
plays
he's
mature, savvy brand of ball.
Yeah.
My last sentence is, London's pro career would benefit from playing with a diverse receiving core that allows play callers to play to London's strengths.
Yeah, he's going to be a good pro. But Jackson Dart, who I saw play, and he got hurt. You know, USC had a revolving door on quarterbacks, but Jackson Dart came in. He's a freshman, and he looked great against Washington State. And the Washington State kid, who looked really good against USC, is transferring to Arizona. But Jackson Dart is leaving USC when Lincoln Riley walks in. I don't know if you know this. Lincoln Riley turns guys into Heisman Trophy
People know,
winners.
But it's your dead man walking. Caleb Williams is going there, so you have no chance.
That's the rumor
behind the scenes with people who are in football.
Well, maybe Riley told him.
Yeah, I think it's a done deal. Caleb is going to go there, and
that kind
once
of sucks
that happens,
for OU.
It sucks for OU. It sucks for the kid at USC to Jackson Dart. Like, but that's a deal. Lincoln's going to go get his guy, and that's going to be that. And so, if you want to play, I guess you have to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
kind of sucks.
It absolutely does. Caleb Williams is going to.
I mean, Keaton Slovis.
Is Bryce Young next year still the number one overall pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He's a true freshman this year, isn't he?
No. Bryce Young
he's redshirt freshman?
Third. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'll be out after next year. Yeah, I have a hard time believing he's not the first pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the whole draft class.
He lost to Stetson Bennett.
He did. I don't know the whole draft class, and he needs to get better. Like, he's not where he needs to be now, but, man, the talent's just immense. He's got a really talented arm, and he can extend plays. He can win from the pocket. I have a hard time seeing anyone else beating him at quarterback. I'm trying to think of but somebody comes out of the blue all the time.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, I think, is going to be the first quarterback. Who had Kenny Pickett on their bingo card? Who had Joe Burrow? Who had
Trevor Lawrence is the only one that didn't come out of nowhere.
Trevor Lawrence is a guy that everyone knew was born and bred to be the first pick.
Justin Fields didn't come out of nowhere, but
no,
yeah.
But I'm talking about the first quarterback draft,
right?
First quarterback draft.
Guess
who was ahead of Justin Fields? Zach Wilson. Did you see Zach Wilson going ahead of Justin headed into the season?
Fields, no, not into the season. By the way, did you see Andrew Luck last night
with the mustache?
Skinny Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was disconcerting. He's not playing football.
He's not playing football. Sorry.
But he's a big dude.
So
he must not be lifting anymore.
No. Hey, I stood next to him walking in for the Stanford-Oklahoma State game in Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl. I was looking up. He looked like a lineman in college.
I told you 4 days before he retired, I was in the office, and he walked in and goes,
"Mind if I talk with you for a second?"
With this Andrew Luck voice.
Yeah.
And I looked, and Ballard goes, "Hey, Lance, get out. I got to talk to Andrew." He goes,
"By the way, I used to listen to you and John all the time when I was I listened to you and John all the time when my dad was taking me to school."
I said, "Oh, cool. Don't retire." And I left.
And sure enough, you jinxed him. He retired four days later.
I asked Ballard, I said, "Hey, did he retire?" He goes, "No." Did he tell you that there? He goes, "No, but he did. He was having some issues at that time."
No.
So
7:59
ESPN. I can't believe he's never come back, man.
97,
I can't believe
97.
You know what? He doesn't
and
love football.
No. Well, no. Not enough to ruin his life.
Kirk Herbstreit said he didn't love the game enough.
Not enough to ruin his life, which is terrible. What a terrible person Andrew Luck is for not destroying his life and his health and his well-being for football. You know who destroys it every day? And just kills everybody, all the competition, is my peeps over at Chastain Ford. I really do. And it starts at the top with the Chastains. Joe and Patrick, they, you know what? They grew up in the car business because Joe's dad was in the business. 83 years the Chastangs have been in the car business, and they've just been dominating. And they're the number one commercial dealership. And a lot of people before we started doing this, it's not like they didn't advertise. You know what they did? They just gave everybody the best deal possible, and everybody went back, and everybody told their friends and neighbors about them. And that's how they advertised forever, just word of mouth, because they always give you that square. Their word is gold at Chastang Ford. They're going to do exactly what they say they're going to do, and they're not going to gouge you. And, you know, the car business has such a bad reputation, but the Chastangs turn that around. I'm telling you, these are people that you can trust every single time. You can do it all from home. They'll deliver the car to you. They're the best. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, my peeps are the best people to get it from. The first thing they're going to say is, where do your payments have to be? And then, what do you want? Not what we want to give you. What do you want in your car? And that's what you'll do every single time. At ChastangFord.com, or you can go to the dealership at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.